It's good to be back with you for this latest edition of ClearPath, your roadmap to health and wealth, brought to you by the Transamerica Institute. I'm Greg Tucker. Americans spend a significant amount of their waking hours at work. And according to a recent study conducted by Johns Hopkins University, in collaboration with the Transamerica Center for Health Studies, modern workplaces frequently contribute to ill health. Now, that's a daunting reality and a bit of a frightening one, I might add. But desk jobs, it's a fact, lead to physical inactivity. There's workplace stress, which can lead to poor sleep, poor dietary choices, and a number of other factors can combine to put workers' health at risk. So here to talk about workplace wellness programs is Hector De La Torre, who is Executive Director of the Transamerica Center for Health Studies. I might add that this is going to be a series of show segments on workplace health and wellness. Hector, what's the positive news?
Well, the good news is twofold. First, the Affordable Care Act created new incentives and expanded existing wellness program policies to promote employee wellness programs. The other good news is that scientific studies show that when done right, workplace health promotion and disease prevention programs can improve the health of employees, reduce healthcare costs, increase productivity, and produce a positive return on investment for that business, resulting in a win-win for employees and employers. The Transamerica Center for Health Studies, in collaboration with Johns Hopkins, as you mentioned, has put together a study on existing workplace wellness programs to determine which kinds of programs actually work and how employers can engage their employees to participate and improve their personal health.
So let's start with the big picture. What are we talking about when we say workplace wellness? I mean, there's an underlying assumption here that the workplace has some sort of obligation to promoting the health and well-being, the wellness of its employees.
There are ways to help. I wouldn't call it an obligation. I'd say it's self-interest. By having healthier workers, they're going to show up to work in better condition to do their job better. Workplace wellness programs generally fall into three categories: primary prevention to prevent illness or disease from occurring, such as physical activity, stress management, anti-smoking campaigns, etc. Secondary prevention is directed at high-risk individuals. This is, you know, weight loss classes, smoking cessation for people who already smoke, improving access to medications, etc. And then tertiary prevention, which is known as disease management, for those with an existing condition, such as therapy for people suffering from depression, medication compliance programs for people with diabetes, etc.
Are you seeing an increase, or has there been any insights into how many of employers that actually provide some sort of structural opportunity for, you know, in the course of a workday to getting out and walking 20 minutes or having workplace gyms or sponsored classes before work or after work?
It tends to be the larger employers who do that. It's a much higher percentage for the big corporations than the smaller employers. And as we know, as we've discussed on this show many times, small businesses are the bulk of businesses in the United States. And so what we tried to do with this effort with Johns Hopkins was to identify those programs that we know work based on scientific evidence and then give them a guide to how they can go about implementing it in their workplace.
Thanks, Hector, for this insight. We'll delve into it much more detail in the coming days. That's all we have time for here on ClearPath, your roadmap to health and wealth, brought to you by the Transamerica Institute. Until next time, I'm Greg Tucker.